Blog Talk Radio.
Us to do and where he wants us to go and how he wants us to do it.
on this morning as we talked about the precepts within the first parable, the casting. It was also talking about the casting of the net. And he says the net that he's going to cast in the last days, that he would gather the good and throw away the bad. And so we were looking at what does it take to be a good fish, to be a good catch in the eyes of the Most High. What does it take to be a good catch? And so we're going to continue in this on this evening. I want to welcome everybody in Power Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, or any of the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. If you're looking for the precept from this morning, it has been loaded to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry up under archives, sermon archives. And that's where I'm starting to move everything from Blog Talk. It's going to take me a minute to do it because there's 4 years of lessons out there, sometimes 2 and 3 lessons a week, sometimes 4 lessons. And so I'm going to have to move it all one by one. And so the one for this evening is out there if you're looking to hear it or go back over it. That's yahsglobalkingdom.org, yahsglobalkingdom.org. And just look on the titles and you'll see Sermon Archives, and it will be there. Let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. We have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your head, and do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim, and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to keep the commandments of Yah, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. We just thank you, Father, and we glorify you. We lift you up, Yah Elohim. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy. To those that love you, Father, and to those that obey your voice, hallelujah, you are faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading for today, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. The book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. From this Israel began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to sound the shofar for the end of this Passover, and then we will play one song for this evening, and we'll jump back into this precept and pick it up where we left off at.
don't forget, oh,
how you saved my soul.
I no go forget, oh,
when I came to pray.
Baba, I no go forget, oh, have to understand that that is a foregone conclusion.
to turn us from our iniquities, our unrighteousness, to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. That's what his purpose was. And then he died for our sins, that if we believe on what he did and then act accordingly, that we could enter into the kingdom. Okay. Now, one of the other precepts for becoming a good is forgiveness, forgiving others. Go to Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. And look at verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So forgiveness in this walk as being a good fish, a righteous person, Most High says, I forgave you when you were in your sin. I want you to forgive others when they're in theirs, when they trespass against you. Don't hold, a grudge forever. You can be angry and sin not. And as I was thinking on this afternoon, I don't think the Most High puts a different standard on us than he puts on himself. So if somebody ignorantly sins against you, how many times do you forgive them? 70 times 7. Because they don't know that this certain thing offends you until you let them know that it offends you. So they do something to offend you, you let them know, hey, that doesn't work with me. I don't like that. But I forgive you. Just don't do it again. And then just like he acts with those things that they know that offend you, and they go ahead and do it anyway, then he doesn't say you have to forgive them. You can forgive them once for it. The next time, you don't have to forgive them for it. It's going to be on you. It's up to you whether you do or not. But you don't have to continue to forgive them. That's his standard. Okay? So I don't think he puts on us a different standard than he holds for himself. He forgave us while we were in our sins. He forgave us one time for our willful sins. You knew you were doing it wrong, these things wrong, I forgive you, one time in Messiah. Now, if you do them again, and you know that they're wrong, then I'm not going to forgive you for it. There's no blood for that. And we have to, in our case, the person would have to come back and really try to make amends. Hey, I know I was wrong, I did it again, and, I was weak, I was whatever. However they present their case to you to convince you, if you're convinced of it and you want to forgive them, forgive them. If you don't, don't. Because it was willful. And that's the same place the Most High is. And so I don't think he puts a different standard on us. All right. The next level of that we have to look at to be a good fish is love. Love. Go to Matthew chapter 22. The book of Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to get verse 37. And they take more out of this than just that verse. But verse 37, our reference verse. And the word of the Most High reads, Yeshua said unto him, Thou shalt love Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Loving him, the Most High. Now, we've talked about this over and over and over again. But it's loving him according to his standard. His standard is presented in his word, in his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. Because if you love me, keep my commandments. I have mercy on them that love me and keep my commandments. So he says it as the Most High. He says it as Messiah. So as the Most High. Christ says, I have mercy on them that love me and keep my commandments. As Messiah, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's no change there. The requirement for his love is the obedience to his commandments, his statutes, his laws, his ordinances, his judgments. That is how we show that we love him. We're obedient to his commandments. Can't ask for any simpler definition. If you were in a relationship with someone and you ask them, well, how do I love you? How do you want me to love you? What's going to make you understand that I love you? And if they say, I need X, Y, and Z, then that's what they want, X, Y, and Z. And if you want to have that relationship and you want to be that committed to them, then you need to provide X, Y, and Z in the relationship, because that's what they said they need to make them happy, to make them feel loved by you. A lot of the times we get into relationships and we want to love the person the way that we want to love them, and then when it's not what they need, we feel like, hey, we were let down. But the truth of the matter is we let them down because they told us what they required. And if we don't tell somebody what we require to be loved and then expect them to love us the way that that we want to be loved, then we are being kind of foolish. Because you need to be able to express what it is that you need, okay, to feel and be loved. The Most High told us, obey my voice. Do what I tell you to do. Keep my commandments. And you will show that you love me. And so whatever the specifics are, then that's what we must do. His is spelled out for us very plainly and clearly. Obey my voice. Keep my commandments. Then I will love you. He doesn't love us unconditionally just because we're human beings. He doesn't do it. He says, I have mercy on them. I have love on them that obey my voice. And now when we don't, he has always punished Israel. When Israel would repent, he would take Israel back. But he said that happened too many times. And so I had to get you out of my face. Started with the northern kingdom. I kicked them out of my presence. I did not go with them. I sent them into Assyria, and I left a remnant in the land. And then Judah was doing work, so I did the same thing to Judah. And I scattered Judah worldwide, not just into the kingdom of Assyria, but I scattered her worldwide. And so we have to do what he wants done. Okay, and he says, I want your repentance. I want you to be sorry for what you've done. And I want you to be genuinely sorry that you've done it and turn away from it. And now, obey my voice. Keep my commandments. And if you do that, then I know that you love me. And I want you to do it with all your heart. I don't want you to come half-assed. I'm going to say it that way. Excuse my French. I don't want you to come halfway to me. I want you to give me your whole heart. Okay. So one heart, one soul, one mind. If thou shalt love Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that's your body, and all thy mind, how you think. Honor me with everything. Then you're going to be mine. This is the first and the great commandment. Now, how do we learn to do that? Through Torah, through his statutes, laws, commandments, and his ordinances. They tell us exactly what to do to love him. We don't have to guess about it. We just have to learn. What does say the Torah? Messiah knew exactly what it said, and that's exactly what he did. If he didn't, he would have sinned. But he was sinless. He did exactly what Torah called for. He obeyed the voice of the Most High with all his heart. He was the Most High in all practical senses of the word. Okay. So he tells us, do the same thing. Do what I did. Do what I did. And that's the first great commandment. The problem with the world today, as I said, we want to look at us and we want to look at what the scriptures say, and we want to look at what the church is teaching people. The church is teaching people to love the Most High according to your own standards. That is the situation that I described earlier where you are in a relationship and the person loves you the way that they want to love you, but they never ask you how you want to be loved. And you never tell them. So then we have all this confusion. We have these mixed emotions. We have these letdowns. Because, well, you know, you didn't give to me what I wanted. You didn't love me the way that I wanted you to love me. But I loved you the way that I wanted to love you. Yeah, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't what I needed. Maybe it's what you need, but it's not what I needed. Okay? And a lot of times, that is the situation. The people fail to communicate. But the Most High has not failed to communicate. He has had it written out perfectly. This is what I want. Not what I need, because he don't need anything from us. This is what I want from you. There's nothing that you could actually give me or do for me that I need. But what I want from you is this. Okay, obey my voice. Learn of me and learn to love me for me. Okay. And then let's go to verse 38. This is the great commandment. Verse 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these, and we need to hear this, what Messiah is saying. On these two commandments. These are overview commandments. They're overviews. You will not find them in the first 10 commandments. They are an overview of how you fulfill the law. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That means that all of the law and everything that the prophets spoke about, what they were teaching, were based upon how to love Elohim and how to love your neighbor. And if you want to know how to do that, then you got to go back into those books and learn it. This is how. Don't just come up with something and say, oh, you know, this sounds good. I think I'll do that. The Most High said, don't do it. Because somebody else, your forefathers or somebody, at some point probably did that same thing to another guy. And I have already determined that it is an abomination to me. So don't do it. Just read what I tell you, understand what I tell you, and do what I tell you. Don't add to it or take away from it. Even in our worship, don't add to it or take away from it. Just do exactly what I say. And we're good. That's what we got to understand and know. Do exactly what I say and we're good. Okay? So in verse 39, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything is based upon this. So people have, what they have done today is they've taken these verses and they say, okay, well, I can love the Most High my way. And I can love my neighbor according to my standards. And if I do that, then I'm good. But that's the wrong answer. What if we are corrupt and our thought processes are corrupt? What if we have the spirit of lust, and that's what motivates us? Then everything that we do will be based upon that, and we will treat others that way. And we will feel like we're loving them the way that we want to be loved because we're coming from that position. What if it's loneliness? Or what if it's whatever feeling that is not genuinely love? And that's our motivation. Then that's how we will love. And then if that's not what the other person wants, then things don't usually last. But when two people get together that want the same thing, as long as they both want the same thing, it will usually work because they're both getting what they want, whether it's good or whether it's evil. Okay, when you get two people who are, one is good, one's good and one wants evil, that never works out. And so when we pretend to be what somebody wants, or they pretend to be what we want, then sooner or later that will come out in the wash. It will come forward, and it will reveal itself, and it will be like, well, you know, you're not the person that I married, or you're not the person who I thought I married. And so then the relationship falls apart because they were never on the same page. So with the Most High, we only have one page to be on, and that's His. And we don't have to worry about moving Him to our page because He's not going to move to our page. We have to move to His. We have to be what He wants, not make Him what we want. So I pray I'm putting this in a natural way so that we can understand that it must be us that makes the move. The Most High is not going to change His ways, and neither should He have to be because of who He is. And it's us that must change our ways, okay, to be what He wants. So all of the commandments rest upon those. You learn how to love the Most High by statutes, laws, and commandments, His ordinances, His judgments, obeying His voice. You learn how to love your neighbor as yourself. When you truly understand what the Most High wants, He tells us how to love our neighbor. Be fair. Consider the person. Consider where they're at. Don't be unevenly yoked. Because a lot of times we get involved with people, we don't even know them. And we get involved, only to find out, well, you know what, we're not really evenly yoked. We don't even believe in the same God. Your version of Elohim is this, and my version is this. And when it becomes a personal version, if it's not what's written, if it's not what He's revealed in the Scriptures, then people can just make up what they want to make up. And my God is this and my God is that. Okay, that's your God. That's your God. And they're not the same. That's why it scares me when people don't believe what is written. And when people don't believe that the Elohim of the Bible can protect His own word, even if they try to mess with it. He has it written in such a way that the truth will come forward. Only He can reveal the truth. They be changing stuff. They don't even know what they're changing. Think they're changing it to something wrong, and He has them change it to what He wants. Well, I thought I was writing this, but good grief. Only to come to find out that the Most High had them to write exactly what He wanted. He's in charge. If you don't believe that He's able to do that, then you shouldn't be serving Him. You should find another Elohim to serve, because He's able to protect His own word. He's able to keep men from doing harm to what He wants to happen. And He says as much. So we have to believe that. Go to 1 John chapter 3. The book of 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, and let's get verse 18. First John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let your works show how you love. Do it in truth. Not your truth. The truth of the word. How the Most High says to love. Because if we use our, as I said, if we use our own standards, then we will, you know, your standard, my standard, somebody else's standard, there will be based upon different things. It'll be based upon our life experiences and what we want, what we like. But then what we want and what we like a lot of times does not line up with the word of the Most High. And so we have to love the way that he says to love. In that truth, he has to always be the standard. That's why he says we have to die. Not literally. Because if we literally died, then we couldn't serve and worship him how he wants. What he's saying is die to your ways. Do away with them. Let my ways become your ways. So die to yourself. Don't let the natural you take over, because the natural you may want to do some corrupt things. And so let my will become your will. So indeed, in action, and in truth. And again, let me reframe it. Let me restate it. Not our truth. Not our understanding, but his. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, Elohim is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart condemn us from the things that we naturally want, and it only is going to condemn us if we are contrary to him. If it don't line up with him, then we're going to feel guilty. We're going to feel like we're out of place. And we know that he is greater than our heart and knows all things. Then he's going to know that either your desire is going to be like him, to be like him, or it's not. Okay? There's no in between there. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward Elohim. If you're walking in the truth, your heart is not going to condemn you. If you're walking in the truth of the word, in the relationship that the Most High condones, your heart is not going to condemn you. When we're walking contrary to that, our heart will condemn us. When we know the truth and we're walking contrary to it, then our heart will condemn us. If we're walking in truth, in the relationship that he wants, that he condones, our heart is not going to condemn us. And we're going to have confidence toward Elohim. This is blessed of Elohim, and so don't even worry about it. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Let me say that again. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Now, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we're disobedient, because we're doing whatever we want to do. We're making up stuff. We're bending the rules. No, we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, not pleasing in our own sight. So it's all about him. Always is all about him. And we have to want that with our whole heart. So are we able to die to self? God, commit myself totally to your will. What do you want from me? What in my life, how do you want me to be to make you happy? To be pleasing in your sight. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Believe on Yeshua HaMashiach and love one another. To believe on Messiah, Messiah said, how do you say that you love me and do not what I say do? So we have to do what he says to do. He said to obey the Father. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. He has given us. The Ruach HaKodesh testifies to us that we are the children of the Most High if we obey his commandments. We obey his voice. He will testify to us. You are my child. When we get off of that, he will convict us. You know that ain't me. He will keep us on the straight and narrow. We just have to hear his voice and obey. Have to hear his voice and obey. Spiritual discipline. Our prayer and our worship. You want to be good fish. You want to be a good catch. We have to maintain a close relationship with Elohim through prayer. And worship is a sign of rights of a righteous individual. Go to Psalms 145 and 18. The book of Psalms, 145 and verse 18. And the word of the Most High reads, and Yah is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. That is big. Yah is nigh unto all them that call upon him in truth. That means that we got to know that we have to learn to love him by his written word, by statutes, laws, commandments, his ordinances, his judgment. You know, there's a verse that I got to find. Hold on for a minute. Just a second. I do this every time, but I thank God that he brings things back to my remembrance. Let me look for this real quick. Let me see if I can find it this way first. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 26. The book of Ezekiel chapter 26. And, no, I'm sorry, not 26, 36. Ezekiel 36. I misread that. The book of Ezekiel chapter 36. This is the whole purpose of the Ruach. When it talks about leading and guiding us, okay? Because this is what Israel would not do. They did it sometime, but the vast majority of the time, they would not do it. And the Most High says, you know, I'm going to have to give you my spirit for you to do this. And let's drop down to about verse 27. If I need to get more, I will get more. Verse 27. Let's start in verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give to you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is what Israel would not do. He says, I'm going to have to put my spirit within you. I'm going to have to give you the Ruach HaKodesh, my spirit, to cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. So he wrote his law in our hearts and in our minds, wrote his commandments, wrote his statutes, wrote his judgment. He says, now I'm going to give you my spirit that you will do them. Down to my judgment, down to my statutes, that you will live your life according to the way that I say to live. Man does not want to do that. Man want to make up his own statutes and his own judgment, because the Most High's are too stiff. And so we want to do our own. Israel fell into the same trap. Most High, that's stiff. You requiring a life, that's stiff. You requiring somebody picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, and they knew they weren't supposed to, and you said kill them. That was stiff. We don't really want to do that. And that's a problem with us today. We say we follow the Elohim of the Bible, but do we? He wants us to do everything, even down to his statutes and his judgment. And I just wanted to show us that so that, can't say Brother Miles said, you know, you imagined that, or you thought that into the scripture. You made that up. No, this is his word, okay? Because this is what, you know, when I read Romans chapter 3, I believe, he was talking about Israel having a form of righteousness, but not according to knowledge. And that they went about establishing their own righteousness over his. So whatever he said was right, Israel said was wrong. And they established their own righteousness. When the Elohim that created them, when the Elohim that made them, said, no, if this happens, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to handle it. So let's keep reading. Verse 28. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. I will also save you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the corn and for the increase, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of thy tree and the increase yield, that you shall receive no more reproach, blasphemy of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways, and that your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourself, you shall hate yourself in your own sight for your iniquity and for your abomination. Not for your sake do I do this, saith Yah Elohim. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Israel is supposed to become ashamed of the way that our forefathers were and how we became, because our ways were contrary to his, and we would not keep his judgment. Remember, salvation was first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. So we were to receive the Spirit of the Most High that we would keep his judgment. He would write his laws in our hearts and in our minds that we would do them. Thus saith Yah Elohim, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the city, and the waste shall be built. Now this is a future event here. And the desolate land shall be tilled. The desolate land is the land that we're supposed to be in that we are not on. Whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this is the land was desolate, has become like a Garden of Eden. Now this is what the Jews that are in the land are trying to say now. They own a sliver of the land. They want to claim that they have made it so productive that this passage has come true, but this passage has not come true. That's why they are over there fighting the Palestinians. They really want their land because the land that they are occupying is too small. And so they have always been trying to take the land from Palestine, from the Palestinians. The Palestinians gave them a reason to come in and to commit atrocities. The same thing that they call and, you know, swear that they would never let happen to them that was put on them in the Holocaust. The virtual wiping of them out is what they're doing to the Palestinians today. We're going to genocide them. But they are not the people of the book. Or the Most High never would have established a republic or a democracy in Israel. That is the doing of men. That alone tells you that. That is the doing of men. Because the Most High never said that he was going to have a democracy in the land of Israel. He is the quote-unquote king of Israel. His word is soul. It is above everything. Men don't get to vote on it. They don't get to do what they want to do. But this is what the world has established, and America helped. That's why America is all behind it. Everything that they need, America wants to provide, because they are in on the democracy. We have a democracy here. They have a democracy there. And so this is not of the Most High. If the Most High is ruling, we don't get a choice. We do what he says to do. That's our choice. We keep his statutes, laws, and commandments. We obey his commandments. We obey his law. So we don't get to do what we want to do. Just as it's stated in Psalms 145 and verse 18 that we read. Go back there. Psalms 145, verse 18. Yah is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And we're going to get verses 16 through 18. Because our prayer life, we're supposed to call upon the Most High. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Everything that we ask, we're supposed to ask the Most High for. And it says, in all that you do, do it in his name. And we're supposed to ask. So we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Our communication with him is supposed to be nonstop. So our prayer and worship is essential. Go to Joshua chapter 1. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1, and let's get verse 8. the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success. This is what he told Joshua. If it was good for Joshua, it's good for us. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know, again, the biggest problem today is people don't believe what is written. People don't believe it. Well, it's been corrupted. Muslims will try to say, oh, it's been corrupted. Men have changed it. The Catholic Church changed it. Trust me, there's no man alive that is knowledgeable enough, powerful enough, that he can change the word of Elohim without Elohim causing him to do exactly what he wants him to do. If that man is in a position to change the word, that it go out to the masses incorrect, the Most High is in control of him. And will make sure that whatever he tries to do will not work out in his favor. That's why a lot of people believe that, quote unquote, believers are deceived, that they've been tricked into believing whatever's written. And then when I listen to them, all they have is their own standards to go by. That's all they have, is their own standards. So we have to believe all that is written to not depart out of our mouth. Okay. Go to Timothy chapter 3, the book of Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, the book of Second Timothy chapter 3, get verses 16 and 17. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And this is, you know, part of our statement of faith. It's really what we have to walk in. I didn't pick those, you know, just to be picking them. The verses that we use for our statement of faith, they all have a meaning that is crucial to our salvation. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim, and it's profitable for doctrine, for what we believe, for reproof, for correcting someone. In what they believe, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know what? I want to do something here. I want to look up this word reproof, make sure I have the proper definition for it. It is the Greek word, let me put on my glasses, L-N-K-O-S, proof, conviction. That's reproof, for proof of what is written, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is for that, and we have to believe that. We have to understand that. Why? That the man of Elohim may be perfect. This is man or woman. This is mankind. May be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we have to believe that, that all scripture was given by the inspiration of Elohim, to the prophet, to Noah. That Messiah was inspired by Elohim, being Elohim himself. That everything that is written by the disciples, even the conflicts, are inspired by the Most High to show us what's going on, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto good works. Let's talk about enduring faith, especially when we're under persecution. It's all right, you know, it's good to believe what you believe until you put on the fire. Then if you change, you probably didn't believe what you believe. Or you're cowardly. You can't stand pressure. So we're supposed to be steadfast in our trials, to remain faithful, or commend those who remain faithful under persecution and trials. Go to James chapter 1. The book of James chapter 1. Get verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yah has promised to them that love him. Those that love him keep his commandments. You got to always do it, even when temptation comes or when trials come. Okay? That is what's going to show whether you're a good fish or not. Whether you're a good catch. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Well, no, let's stay right here for a minute. Let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 12. We're going to get verse 13 and 14, maybe 15. Go back there if you flipped in your Bible. I apologize. We will be going to Revelation chapter 2. But let's stay here for a second. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of Elohim. For Elohim cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempt he any man. If you got the spirit of Elohim in you, he can't be tempted with evil. And neither tempt he any man. He don't bring this temptation. And then he tells you where it comes from. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Every person is tempted when they are drawn away of their own lust. And then entice, encourage. So you got something in you. You want to do it. You've been thinking about it. And, you know, it's been in your heart. It's been on your mind. And you may not want to do it, but, you know, pressure, loneliness, horniness, all these things start playing on you. You see people going out to dinner, holding hands, kissing. You don't seem to have anybody. Then it becomes a temptation. Because somebody comes around, they want to pay some attention. And we become tempted. And then they're saying little things, try to egg us on, to try to encourage us in that matter. We become enticed. So this is what happens. Every man or person is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. It's in you and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, when lust actually flares up, you know, a lot of the times we can't help how we feel. It's there. And we try to keep it under control. But then if the right influences come up, then lust is conceived. Wasn't lusting before, but now, man, I can't get rid of this thought. And every time I turn around, something reminds me of this. It brings forth sin. But sooner or later, we're going to act on it, one way or the other. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We can't say, well, you know, I know that this is right or wrong, or I know that this is right, and I'm doing this thing, but then you know it's wrong, because you got to sneak and do it. And if you are bold, then you won't sneak and do it. You'll just do it. But you'll know it's wrong. And then say it's from the Most High. Now, the Most High sent me this woman, or the Most High sent me this brother. And now we're not married, but we committed to each other. Because it's not from the Most High. There is no shadow of turning in him, and there's no variableness in him. That's coming from self. Of his own will beget he us of the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. So we got to know that this is where temptation comes from. It's already in us. It's something that is already in us. As I said by example last night, if you don't smoke, you can't be tempted with a cigarette. If you don't drink, you can't be tempted with a drink. If you don't do drugs, you can't be tempted with a drug. If you are not, I'm looking for another word, but if you're not overly lustful, meaning that you're consumed with it, you can't be tempted with lust. And so you got to understand that that is just the way the world is. When we feel like we are lacking, we want something, then we can be tempted with it. It becomes what we want, and we can be tempted with it. That's why it says it's of your own lust, not from Elohim. Elohim not lusting to say, hey, see if you can withstand this temptation. He doesn't do that. So know that if we are suffering from something, it's because it's within us, ourselves. Okay. Go to Revelation chapter 2. The book of Revelation chapter 2. In verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. You got to be faithful unto death. To be willing to die for something, you got to be totally 100% committed to it. Because as far as you know, this is all there is, and there is no more. Your faith is in the Most High that he's going to resurrect you. But that's faith. You don't really know that. You believe that. You haven't done it yet to know it. So you have to believe with all your whole heart to be willing to die for it. And I will give you a crown of life. The crown of life. Everlasting life in his kingdom. You got to be faithful to the very end. To the very end. So this is not a one-day thing. It's not a one-month thing. It's a your whole life thing. It's the rest of your life thing. Once you make a commitment, you got to be willing to die for it. That is a whole nother level of faith. Just think about it. How many things would you be willing to die for? Would you be willing to die for your children? Would you be willing to die for your mother or your father? Would you be willing to die for your husband or your wife? Would you be, who and what would you be willing to die for, even for yourself? A lot of people are going to lose their life because they want to save their life. So they love this life so much. They don't believe that they have a hope. You know, they don't want to see this one end. But it's got to be come to a point where you're willing to die for what you believe in Messiah. You get thrown in jail, get abused in jail, beat down, and who knows what? Are you going to remain faithful? Maybe they cut off fingers, cut off toes. You don't never know what mankind is capable of, because they're capable of any and everything. Any and everything. And if you have to go through it, will you remain faithful even unto the cost of your life? In other words, you know, mankind has a belief, and they always have a saying that every person has their breaking point, or every person has their price. If I offer you enough money, will you change your mind? If I put you up under enough pain, will you change what you're saying? And this is how they get a lot of confessions out of people that aren't true. So they put them through so much turmoil that they're willing to say anything. Torture, willing to say anything. The Most High says you got to remain faithful, even if it costs you your life. That's why I said, if you want to rule with him, it's not a matter of you just sitting in the pews, sitting on your hands. He said, you got to suffer with him. You got to know what the cost is. You got to be willing to pay the cost. And if the price of the cost comes up for you, you got to be willing to pay it. That's why he says you got to consider the cost. Are you willing to give your all, even unto death? That's what he's looking for. And if we don't have to give our life, he still knows those that would. He knows what's in our heart. Oh, yeah, you would have died for me. Oh, no, you wouldn't have. If I put you up under the right pressure, you'll crack every time. But this one, I don't care what kind of pressure I put them up under, I know that they would die for me. It was just not called for. Talk about generosity and hospitality. Generosity and hospitality. So he talks about helping the fatherless, the widow, and the homeless. That's coming out of our generosity. Taking in the ones that are homeless. That's out of our hospitality. You know, it's not a matter of just entertaining people who are your friends that come to your house. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 21. The book of Proverbs chapter 21. And look at verse 13. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13. What time are we at? We're at 6:24. We got good time. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13. Whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. The Most High is looking for those people that have a heart for those that are less fortunate. And when you see somebody less fortunate and people in, you know, those type of situations, that it makes you cry. And when we read like in Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9, it's, you know, the people who saw how Israel was doing the Most High, how they were worshiping other gods in his own house, and how it upset them that the people were doing that. How we should be upset how people misworship the Most High, don't really have a heart for him today. And we should be sad and cry over that as well. But he said, hey, how are you going to cry for me, whom you cannot see, and you don't cry for them who you can see. To him, that's a contradiction. And it is a contradiction. It's a certain state of mind where we want to appear to be holy, but we're not holy. Most I'll cry for you, but, you know, my fellow man, I won't cry for them. I don't really have no feelings about them. They are evil and wicked. And even if they are evil and wicked, if you see them in a state where the world is taking advantage of them, because I want you to have a heart for them, like he had a heart for us. So whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Because if you stop your ears at the cry of the poor, that means that you weren't trying to hear them. So those that says, when you cry, I'm not going to hear you. Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. And let's get verse 16. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, Elohim is well pleased. Do good and communicate. To do good is to do those things to those people who are less fortunate, not to people who come here to pay you back. Those that won't be able to pay you back. Then you did that for them. You didn't do it for you. There's a difference there. When we know people are able to pay us back, they might be able to return a favor. But we're really doing it for them or for ourselves, that we might be able to get the favor back from them or get them to do something for us. So when we know we can't get anything from this person, they don't have it within them, the capabilities to do it, they don't have the means to do it, and we do it for them, then we're doing it for them, for the love of man within us. So we don't want to see anybody less fortunate go through this. So the biblical concept of righteousness, it encompasses faith in Elohim and in Yeshua HaMashiach, adherence to the commandments of Elohim, to establish and to maintain his moral and his ethical behavior in our lives. To love the way that he says love, to have compassion the way that he says to have compassion, to be humble the way he says to be humble, and to commit to justice. Righteous individuals are those who seek to live in accordance with Elohim's will, demonstrating their faith through their actions and their treatment of others, according to his standards. This perspective, this view, emphasizes faith in Elohim, where faith in Yeshua HaMashiach is seen not just the means to salvation, but as a call to life of a life of righteousness. And that includes adherence to Elohim's laws. This understanding highlights the importance of obedience to Elohim's commandments as a reflection of one's faith and commitment to Elohim's will. So we got to understand that obedience to how Elohim wants us to be is what he wants. That is the view that I'm trying to portray to us. As a view that the church doesn't have, because the church wants to believe that, hey, I can just stand and do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, and just say I'm sorry. And Elohim will forgive me. So look at this aspect of obedience again. Go to James chapter 2. We'll drum this in us until we get it. James chapter 2, verse 17. Because it's a must that we are obedient to him. It's a must that anybody that hears this precept, they don't walk away with anything. They walk away with that. Obedience to Elohim. He has not changed. So James chapter 2, we'll start in verse 17. We'll read down to verse 26. The book of James chapter 2, starting in verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not worked, is dead, being alone. If you say you believe and there's nothing to back up your belief, you don't have any works to back up your belief, in other words, you are all talk, but you don't really have any works that backs up that talk, he says, your faith is dead. Being alone. So whatever you thought, you must be able to back up with deeds. I do this and I do that, but not to brag on it, not to boast upon it, but to show that your faith is not dead. That it's not just a matter of, well, I believe, and that's all I got to do is believe. And as long as I believe, it's all good. So why did you let that person go hungry? Well, I believe the Most High is going to feed them, but he sent you to feed them. Well, he's going to provide, but he sent you. And because you have no work, because you are all talk, your faith is dead. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one Elohim, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So believing that there is one Elohim is not all that it takes. So believe that there's only one Elohim. And they tremble at that because they know what he's going to do. They believe and they know that, hey, there's a day coming. We've served him for eternity. We've been here since he created us. We have the insight of living through it. And we know how he is. And we tremble at how he is. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Will you know it? Will you believe it? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See, Abraham could have said, you know, the Most High wants me to go take my son, Isaac, to sacrifice him. And when he gets there, he can't do it. He's not going to do it. Most High, you know, I know this is what you want, but it is not within me to take the life of my son. I know you commanded it. Because see, today people will tell you crazy if you say something like that. Because people don't believe that the Most High actually talks to people. So the stories in the Bible are just stories. But Abraham was going to really sacrifice his son because he knew the Most High had promised to this one the promises were going to come through. So if I kill him, you ain't got no other choice but to raise him back up. when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar. Seest thou how faith worked with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. Because he was truly going to believe, he would truly believe that the Most High had to raise him back up. The Most High stopped and said, hey, don't touch the hair on his head. And now I'm going to do everything that I told you I'm going to do, because you have shown me that you are faithful. You're about to stab that dagger right through his heart. But I stopped you, because I knew you were going to do it. That's how his faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed Elohim, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Elohim. Abraham believed. He acted on his belief. And he was called a friend of Elohim. You see then how that by work a man is saved and not by faith only? Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, the spies, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. If your spirit leaves your body, your body's dead. They saying that your works are the spirit of the faith. But you got, your works have to be not just for yourself, and they have to be not for you to boast upon. That's why he says you got to be humble. You got to operate in humility. Can't think that by your works alone and deny Messiah that you are saved, that you are a perfect being. So it's by our works, keeping his commandments, and by our works, we show our faith. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And look at verses 3 through 6. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth this word, in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Messiah walked perfect. He was not a sinner. He kept the commandments. So we can't say we know him if we steadily walking in sin. And that he abides in us. Because if he abides in us, then we should also walk even as he walked. A sinless life. So I say we are becoming him. And if we don't understand that, if we think that some semblance of us is supposed to be left over, then we're not going to make it. We have to look at his example and walk as he walked. Go to 1 John chapter 3. And let's get verse 24. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. contrary to him. That's why I know a lot of people don't have a spirit. They are not convicted. And if it is, it's by some form of guilt. But they're not convicted to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. It's judgment. Not convicted to do it. So know that it's not his spirit. Don't know what's guiding them. Don't know what spirit they're filled with. But it's not the spirit of the Most High. His spirit is not going to lead you contrary to him. The spirit is not going to say it's okay to do whatever when the law says it is not. The spirit is not going to say it's okay to get remarried when he told you, hey, you can't be remarried. Unless these things happen. He's not going to tell you contrary to his word. He's not going to go according to the culture that you live in. He's just not going to do it. So we have to know that. Matthew chapter 5. We said verses 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Messiah himself said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, has heaven and the earth passed away? Are we living in a new heaven? Are we living in a new earth? No. One jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Shall all be fulfilled. All has not been fulfilled yet. Messiah is not on his throne. The wicked haven't been judged. Everybody has not received the crown of life, whether good or bad. Everything hasn't been fulfilled and heaven and earth haven't passed away. So nothing has changed. But the church has made it change. The church is saying, hey, we ain't up under that. We're not subject to it. Well, then who are you believing in? Who are you worshiping? Who are you following? Not the God of the Bible, not the Elohim of the Bible. Messiah said none of this stuff would change until heaven and earth passed away. We can read about heaven and earth passing away in Revelation. It ain't happened yet. So his laws haven't changed yet. They haven't passed away. No new set of laws have been given. Go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You cannot come to truth in the Scripture without the Ruach HaKodesh, the author and finisher of our faith, the Most High. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, there shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So, the Spirit of truth, is really what it's saying is not going to tell us what it is that we want to hear. But he's going to lead and guide us into all truth of what the Most High wants, what he wants, and what is to come. From the position of Father, and the Father is the Spirit of truth, from that position, you can right now, I'm silent. I've turned that over to the position of the Son. And whatever the Son says, that's what you do. But as the Spirit of truth, I'm going to come and help guide you into all truth. And I'm not going to promote myself as the Father. Because right now it's all about Messiah, me as the Son. Even to when I return, it's all about that. So when I have no more need for that, then a change is going to come. So the Spirit of Truth's job is to glorify the Son. This is how the Most High wants us to relate to Him today. By the Son. By the Son and the things that the Son did, we are supposed to be transformed. We're supposed to be converted. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. What time we got? 147. Let's get verses. Get verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. We read this from Jeremiah 31 and 31. After those days, says Yah, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart. And I will be to them Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. If you have the Ruach HaKodesh, if you've been born again, there is no way that you can not be knowledgeable, if you've truly been born again, knowledgeable of His laws, His ordinances. There's no way that you can just live and say, oh, I'm going to live by the two that Messiah mentioned. I'm going to love Elohim with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself and not read the rest of the book and not read the other sections of the book, not read Torah. You have no way to know how to do it without reading those sections, without studying those sections, without ingesting those sections and believing them and making them part of you. If Elohim's laws are written in our hearts, then we have to internalize those laws and those commandments, those statutes and those judgments. Have become ours. Have become our way of life, our way of thinking, our way of being. So I don't know and I don't understand how the everyday average Christian church, Protestant or Catholic, can say that they are not up under the laws of the Most High, that it don't apply to them. But He said, I will write them in your heart. You can't have a spirit and not have them in your heart. You can't have a spirit and not be wanting to study them, learn them, that you won't transgress against them. It's impossible. Anything else, we're just talking. And we're trying to be good. But we are fake and we are false. We operate not in truth. That is what Elohim said. He said it, I believe it. write them in our hearts and in our minds. Accepting Yeshua HaMashiach as our Messiah and our Savior is the beginning of the journey towards righteousness. And it's characterized by a continual effort to live according to Elohim's commandments, not our own, guided by the Ruach HaKodesh. The transformation of power of faith of Yeshua by his help, by his example, as to lead a life where believers strive to emulate Messiah's obedience to the Father. That's what we're supposed to emulate. We're supposed to reproduce that. That demonstrates our faith through our adherence to Elohim's laws and commandments. If we're not adhering to his laws and commandments, we don't really have faith. If you believe that, then you're going to be emphasizing the ongoing nature of salvation. That you are justified by your faith and sanctified through living a life in accordance with Elohim's will. His will is that you be obedient to his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. That's his will, and has always been his will. What time we got? 6:53. So I don't have time to go into this next portion. So we're going to stop here for tonight. On next Shabbat, which will be, let me make sure this is not the beginning of month, because maybe I'll do it Tuesday night instead. The beginning of month will be on the night of the 8th, Shabbat is the 7th, the 6th, so the April the 6th, we will do this next portion. We will look into the role of the law, the role of law, and in faith alone, justified by faith alone, because we are not justified by faith alone, because faith alone without works is dead. We're going to look at the law, and then we're going to look at faith for next week. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty. Shalom and enjoy your evening.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah. stomp. Play me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Have a blessed evening.
You also.
All right, amen.